While you're turning there, we're going to observe the Lord's table tonight. Matthew chapter 7, I'd like to read verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I've entitled this message, Self-Deception. Self-deception. Now, I want every believer to have full assurance of faith. I want every believer to know that Christ has put away their sins, that His hand is on them. And I want every believer to have full assurance. I love that song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. If I don't have assurance, it has something to do with me not looking to Christ, because isn't Christ alone enough to give me full assurance? He's all I need. So I want every believer to have full assurance. And I want anyone here who has a false assurance to find out they have a false assurance. Wouldn't that be a great blessing if you have a false assurance and the Lord reveals to you that your assurance is indeed false and not real, and it will cause you to look to Christ for the first time? Oh, that God would be pleased to meet with us. Now, the people that we just read about, all of their lives, these people had deceived themselves. It was an unconscious hypocrisy, and they found out to their own dismay that they had deceived themselves when it was too late, and they heard those awful words from the Lord. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, which of us have not read that passage of Scripture and it scared us? I read that passage of Scripture and I think, oh, I do not want that happening to me. Can you imagine the horror of finding out on Judgment Day that you thought you were a believer all these years? You thought you were a Christian. You thought you were saved. And you hear those awful words, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, I pray that the Lord will enable us to examine ourselves. Now, don't worry about anybody else right now. Don't need to examine anybody else. But didn't Paul say, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith? May God cause me to put myself on trial in light of His Word, to examine myself. Now, some are afraid to examine themselves. Some never think of examining themselves. They merely presume all is well. And some feel that it's not a good thing to examine yourself because that'll put you under the law or that'll put you doubting, and we don't want anything like that to happen. But Paul did say, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. May God give you and I grace to do just that. Now back to our text. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now first, saying Lord, Lord is a good thing. The Lord said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. We ought to be saying Lord, Lord, and we ought to be addressing Him with that kind of respect. Let me just say this on the side. It always bothers me when people refer to the Lord as Jesus, Jesus this, Jesus that. You know, the disciples never came up to Him and said, Jesus, we want you to do this. Or no, they called Him Lord. He said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. It's a good thing to call Him Lord because that's who He is. But you know, you can have a correct belief system and not enter the kingdom of heaven. And you can say, Lord, Lord, you can say it with emotion and fervency and feeling and zeal. You can say, Lord, Lord, and still not enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There must be a doing of his will. No matter what we say, we cannot stand in His presence apart from an actual doing of His will. I must actually do His will. Not just admire it, not know what it is, but I must do it or I will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now look what the Lord says in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day of judgment. Now, notice the word many. Whenever we want to make a point, we exaggerate it, don't we? I don't know how many times I'll pick on Lynn right now. Whenever she's going to make a point to me, she always says, you always do this or you never do that. Always and never. I say, Lynn, strike it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You know, but when we want to make a point, we exaggerate it, don't we? The Lord never exaggerates. When He says many, this is a word that carries with it a very definite meaning. Not just a few, but many will say to me, in that day. Look up in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7. The Lord said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now those are the Lord's words. Not just a man trying to make a point, but these are the words of Him who never exaggerates, who never uses hyperbole. And He says, many will say to me in that day of judgment. What will they say? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Now prophesying in His name is a good thing, isn't it? Preaching in His name is a good thing. These fellas, we're talking about preaching error. We preached in Your name. Now, I can say everything that's right. I can say things that are true. Balaam did. I can be like the people who speak with the tongues of men and angels. Men may even be moved by my performance. But here's the problem. It's just that. It's a performance. Many will say, we preached in Your name. We've said the truth. We've given accurate doctrine. Then next He says, many will say, have we not cast out devils in Your name? Works of spiritual power. Casting out demons. You know, Judas did this. Judas performed all the miracles. He cast out all the demons that all the other disciples did. He was right there with them in on that. Many powerful works, spiritual works of power. And then look at their estimation of their works. In Thy name have we not done many wonderful works. Their estimation of their works. Many and wonderful. Now, these people thought they were saved. These people were the victims of their own self-deception. Obviously, they had failed to examine themselves. I think of this thing of self-deception. You know, we can deceive ourselves by relying on the correctness of our doctrine. I believe the right things. Beloved, that's not faith in Christ. That's faith in your faith. That's faith in your understanding. It has something to do with faith in self. Some live off their religious activity. I must be saved. Look what all I'm doing. You can do a whole lot with no love for Christ, can't you? It could be that my social circle is church people. This is the people I hang out with, and these are the people I'm with. Surely I'm saved. I'm with these people. Well, you can do all that and still have no love for Christ. I may be strong in apologetics and be able to give it a defense of the faith. That's a good thing. But you can have all that without love to Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 for a moment. Paul says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. We know that the idols are nothing more than idols, that they're not living God, they're not true, they're just idols. We all have knowledge." Now look what he says next. Knowledge puffs up. And that's what it does. I know something you don't know. I have an advantage over you. I know something you know. You don't know. And you know what that does? That puffs one up with pride. That's all it does. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity builds up. Charity edifies. A true love to God. And if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Anything that you think spiritually, I've got a handle on that, you don't even have a clue. I'm sure of that. If a man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known, the same is recognized of him. This is what the Lord sees. He sees whether someone truly loves his person. Now, it's so easy to deceive yourself. You can get on a tangent, ride a hobby horse, and mistake that for a true relationship with Christ. We can be taken up with a cause, and we can think that's faith in Christ. The Lord tells us this is going to happen to many. Many will say to me in that day of judgment. And this is something that I hope I can say this. If I don't do it with a tear in my eye, I'm doing it with a tear in my heart. It's a solemn thing to think that there are people in this room who will do the same thing. They'll make this statement that, Lord, we preached in your name. We believe the right stuff. We cast out demons in your name. We did many wonderful works. We were always doing. And then they'll hear those awful words. Depart from me. I never knew you. Now you think of the Lord saying, I never knew you. We say, well, I know the Lord. He says, well, I don't know you. You know, he knew who they were. He knew exactly who they were. He knew everything about them. But he says, I never knew you. I never loved you. I never knew you to have a relationship with me. I never knew you to feed upon me. I never knew you in your own soul to stand in awe of me and love me. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, every one of us, beginning right here, the one talking to you, we're all so quick to justify and vindicate ourselves. I'm quick at it. We all have such a propensity to self-deception. I hope you believe that. The Lord gives us this warning. Many will say unto me in that day. Now these people had deceived themselves, and discovered it when it was too late. Now, according to our Lord, there must be not just saying correct things, but there must actually be a doing of His will. Now, what is the will? We read of the will of God, the will of man. What is the will? If I'm going to enter into heaven, I'm going to have to actually do God's will. Well, what is this thing of will? Well, the will is the intent. It's the purpose. It's the desire. Our will directs everything we do. We do what we want to do. When I say we don't have a free will, it doesn't mean we don't do what we want to do. We do exactly what we want to do. But the will is controlled by the nature. God has a will. You have a will. Men have will. People talk about free will. There's no such thing. It's really an absurdity. Your will is controlled by your nature. God doesn't have a free will. God's will is controlled by His nature. God can't sin, can He? Can He just up and decide to sin? No, because He's got a holy nature. His will is controlled by His nature. To say man has a free will is a declaration of the sovereignty of man's will. His will trumps God's will. His will has control over God's will if man has a free will. So when we talk about the will, what that means is the intent. It's the desire. It's the purpose. It's what you want to do. It's what drives what you want to do. Now, the will of God is God's intent. It's God's purpose. It's God's desire. But there's something different between His will and our will. We have a will, but we don't have the power to make anything we will come to pass, do we? You might want to, but when it comes right down to it, you can't make sure your will is done. God can. Because He is all-powerful. He has omnipotence behind His will. Now, when we talk about the will of God, there is the secret will of God, and there is the revealed will of God. And what the secret will of God is, it's stuff you don't know. Stuff I don't know. There's a lot of things God wills that I don't have any idea about what it is. It's secret. Remember the scripture that says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things which are revealed belong to us and our children, that we might do the words of this law? There's the secret will. There's the purpose. There's the decrees of God. For instance, God has a will. He's got the names of everybody that's going to be saved written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't know who they are. I've said this before. There is such a thing as the Lamb's Book of Life. Scripture teaches that for sure. And there are the names of all of God's elect are written in the names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all of they'll all be saved. If God chose them to salvation. Christ died for them. They'll all be saved. But you and I don't know whose name is in that book. I know this. If I had access to that book, I know whose name I'd be looking for. And it wouldn't be you. I'd look for you after I found out what, you know, but first I'd be looking for me. But that's
the secret will. We don't know that, do we? And then there is the revealed will of God, His will of command. Now, His secret will, His will of decree and command, His will of purpose is always done. It's never thwarted. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. In earth and sea and in all deep places. You see, God can't will something and then it not happen. His will is never thwarted. And His will of command, though, is not always done. We talk about His will of command or His will of precept. What do I mean by that? Well, the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. That's a will of command. When I do a thou shalt not, I break His will of command, don't I? If I do not do what He tells me to do, I do not do His will of command. Now, God's will. God's will is essential. You know what that means? That means nothing takes place without it. God's will is eternal. It never began to be. Whatever His will is now,
it always has been, and it always will be. God's will is immutable. He never changes. God's will is efficacious, and that means it cannot be thwarted. God's will is causeless. There's no cause outside of Himself that makes Him do what He wants to do. He never responds to anything. Now, me and you, we're always responding, aren't we? Something happens, we try to put out this fire, we try to get... God never responds. God's will is sovereign. That means His will is done. And God's will is supreme. God's will... I love thinking about God's will. It's demonstrated in creation when He just willed the universe into existence. Creation was here because He willed it. His will is done in providence. Everything that's happened to you today, everything that happened yesterday, and everything that will happen tomorrow, God purposed it, willed it, and decreed it. Now, you did what you wanted to do. No doubt about that. But you did what God purposed for you to do. God's will is absolutely sovereign. And the sovereignty of His will is most especially seen in salvation. If you're saved, it's because He willed your salvation. Of His own will began He us through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation. It's not of Him that willeth, the Scripture says. It's not of Him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now that's the sovereign will of God. That is His will of purpose. And we are saved that we might know His will. Listen to the Scripture. In Acts chapter 22, verse 14, Ananias said to Paul on the road to Damascus, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou mightest know His will." Now that does not simply mean I know what God's will for my life is. You know, people are always trying to figure out what God's will for my life is. What would He have me do? Well, you're up to your neck in it. I'll assure you that. But knowing His will is not so much knowing what He'd have you do or knowing what His will is. Knowing His will is loving His will. You know, when the Lord said, "Depart from me, I never knew you," He knew exactly who they were. He knew exactly what they'd done. What He's saying is, "I never loved you." Adam knew his wife Eve. He loved her. That's what this thing of knowing His will is. It's not just knowing what it is. It's not just knowing the correct things to say. It's a love for His will, where you truly say from the depths of your heart, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that's what we pray when we pray. We're taught to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The essence of holiness is not my will, but thine be done. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. A believer is saved to know, to esteem, to love His will. Now, I appeal to every believer. Aren't you glad? Don't you love the fact that the will of the Lord is done? Aren't you thankful His will is always done and no one can thwart His will and that He's in absolute sovereign control? You know, we read in Ephesians 6:6 of doing the will of the Lord from the heart. Now, the Lord does not speak merely of knowing His will, and that means loving it more than just knowing what it is, but loving. But He also speaks of doing His will. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth." I must myself personally do the will of God, or I will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we have all broken God's will of command. Guilty?
guilty. We have all broken God's will of command. And our hope of salvation is found somewhere in His will of decree. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 7. Then said I, this is a quotation from Psalm 40, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. Oh God, now there's somebody who did His will. Above, when He said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant of works, that He may establish the second, by the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified once for all through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, by God's will, we are sanctified. You know what that word means? We are declared by God Himself to be holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, through what Christ did on the cross. We are sanctified once for all. That means something that's perfectly completed and it's never to be repeated. It's a completely accomplished act. I find my salvation in the will of God's decree. James 1:18, of His own will begat He us through the word of truth. Now, this I know. A man may have never heard of the distinctions between the will of command and the will of decree, but any sinner, you listen to this very carefully, any sinner who has ever asked for mercy knew as sure as he was a foot and a half high that it was up to God to give it to him or to withhold it. It was up to God's will. The leper knew that. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Anybody who's ever sought mercy has known, whether they might not have known the theological distinctions and differences between will of decree and will of command, will of purpose and will of precept and so on, but they know that salvation is in God's hands. It's up to Him as to whether or not I'll have it or whether or not I won't. And that's the way I come to Him. And if I come any other way, I'm coming on the basis of God owes me something. And I will, oh, by the grace of God, I won't come that way. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, I understand salvation is up to His will. I understand that. But that still doesn't get us away from this. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, I love God's will. I understand God's will. I understand salvation is utterly in His will. It's not up to me. I understand all that. But what is this thing of doing His will? Now let's go to a familiar passage of Scripture in John chapter 6. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now here's the first thing I know about God's will. It's God's will for all the elect. Everybody Christ died for to be saved. See that, don't you? That's what He says. I mean, what else? But let's go on reading. Verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him
may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, does that mean we got to see him physically? Obviously not. I don't know what the Lord looks like, but you see who he is. Whom do men say that I am? Well, they say good things about you. Whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see who he is. The Lord said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. You see that all that the Father is dwells in the Son. Do you see that? All that God is in the Son. Hold your finger there and turn to John chapter 12. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks, Gentiles among them, that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Would that be you too? We would. This is our desire. This is our will. We want to see Jesus. We want to see who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go and read it. The same, verse 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now listen to this. If you ever see him, you will see him glorified. Now that's not just religious mumbo jumbo. It means something. The Lord said in John chapter 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. When you see him glorified, you see him having finished whatever it was the Father gave him to do. Now, do you believe when he said it is finished, it really was finished? That salvation was accomplished by what? I tell you, those are the sweetest words to me. I know. It is finished. I'm finished. Nothing. He finished it. That's what it is to see him glorified. You see that when he bowed his mighty head and said, it is finished, salvation was accomplished. Now let's go and read it. He said, this is what you see when you see him. The hour has come that the Son of Man may be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You see that his death brought forth much fruit, even the salvation of everybody he died for. Here's what happens next when you see him. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If you ever see him, you'll hate your life in this world. You're not going to seek to save your life. You look to him. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. You ever see him, you'll follow him. If you're not following him, that's because you've never seen him. Because all who see him follow him. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now go back to John 6. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. That means you see who he is, and here's what happens next. You believe on him. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him. You're trusting him. You're relying on him. All of your hope of salvation is in the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is to believe on him. You are utterly relying on who he is and what he did as all that is needed to save you. And if you see the Son and believe on him, you're doing his will. Look in verse 27 of the same chapter, John chapter 6. The Lord said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They heard him say, labor not for the meat that perishes. All they heard was work. What kind of work do we need to do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. You know what comes after that? A period. A period. Not an and, but a period. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Now, my salvation, if I'm saved, if you're saved, our salvation is found wholly in the will of God, isn't it? Because God willed my salvation. That's the only reason I can find for my salvation, is because God willed it. And all that Christ did as a result of the will of God. Now, the only way that can be seen is me actually doing His will and doing His commandment. Now, look in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, this is a commandment I must personally keep. Now, I love the fact that the Lord calls this a commandment. You don't come to Christ because you're one of the elect. You come to Christ because He commands you to. That's your reason for coming. You don't come and say, well, I'm one of the elect, so I'm coming. No, you come because He can. You'll find out you're one of the elect from that. You will. But you don't come on the ground of your election. You come on the ground that He commands you to. And listen to me, He commands you to believe the gospel. He commands you to believe on the name of His Son. He commands you to believe that all your salvation is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in you, it's in His name. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He saved them for His name's sake. He's commanding you to trust the name of His Son as all, not the minimum, but the maximum and everything else, as everything in your salvation. Aren't you glad that's a command? Your right to do it is because He commands you to. And beloved, this is a command that I keep. This is a doing of the will of God. Believing on the name of His Son. If you believe on the name of His Son, you're one of those people who does His will. Not just admires it, but you do it. And He said, this is His commandment, that we believe on the name of His Son and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, this is the same thing as faith without works is dead. If you really believe on His name, you will love His people. You will be servant to His people. That's what you want to do. And that's a doing of His will. Now, the Lord said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now regarding that day that our Lord is speaking of, John Newton said this: when I stand before our Lord on that great day, there will be three facts in which I will marvel. One, there will be believers there that I did not expect to see there. Two, there will be people missing that I surely expected to see them. And third, but the great fact that I'm there will be to the praise of the glory of His grace. You know that so, don't you? When I stand before thy throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, but not till then, how much I owe. Let's pray together.